Hello, everyone. Today is December the 5th, 2011. This is Vicki Goodwin, and welcome to my BBS radio show, Return to Shambhala. Tonight, BBS Radio has a very special guest, someone that I've been following and admiring since his first book was published, Saved by the Light. Tonight we have Danion Brinkley for the hour, and I am so honored and so excited to have you on. How are you, Danion?
I'm doing great, Vicki, and thank you for having me.
Well, I heard you on Coast to Coast on the 11/11, the Veterans Day, and that was short. I enjoyed it very much. But I'd like to hear more about what you're doing. BBS Radio, I don't know if you saw it, but they did a very nice write up on you on their homepage today.
I didn't see it, but I am absolutely pleased that they did it. That was Seth.
Yes, Seth, Doug, and his twin brother, they all work together, and they put it up there for you, so it was really nice. It goes through your accomplishments and the things that you do. Is there anything...
that I've ever accomplished?
Yeah, you're funny. How would you like the listeners to know you? I mean, I've been following you since the first book came out. But I'd like you to introduce yourself to the listeners and where you are right now.
Well, my name is Danion Brinkley, and I am the author of Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light and the Secrets of the Light, and soon to be published 10 Things You Need to Know Before You Go. I think that I am an expert in end-of-life care, going through 3 near-death experiences in a 22-year period, first struck by lightning, which was declared clinically dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself, then which led to open-heart surgery 14 years later, and then brain surgery. And I had 3 near-death experiences. I'm a hospice volunteer for 35 years. I've been a hospice volunteer in the VA system with veterans for 25 years. I have more than 27,000 hours at the bedside and studying what we commonly call death. I'm also a great advocate of complementary and alternative integrative therapy. I believe that the key to proper health is complementary and allopathic integration, not just pushing pills, but proper health care, proper nutrition, and a new vast array of energetic medicines that's coming online. So I think that those are my expertise. I believe that there is no such thing as death. There is only life. And life has many stages and variations upon it. And we've come to a place in our lives, and especially in the Western world, well, because of religions and institutions and governments, we believe that death is a very frightening place, either hell or the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We come to relate to what we call death as a painful situation, and that's because we've created so many medical paradigms that can keep you alive long after your time is due. And so
yes,
we associate it so much with pain that we've lost our value. You know, Vicki, the number one cause of death in America is birth. The number one cause of death is birth.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How is that?
Well, if you were born, if you come into this world, you will leave this world.
Okay, yes.
Most people never get it. They think of cancer. They think of all kinds of things that can possibly go wrong, but the number one cause of death is birth.
It's part of the contract.
Yeah, it's part of the deal. And it could, being born is celebrated, and death is feared.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle, that creates a consciousness that creates fear. And fear can drive many things into position and the acceptance that most people would have never accepted before. Look at where we are as a nation. We're all afraid. We have terrorism, quote-unquote, as this big issue, and We live in fear of death. We live in fear of pain. We live in fear of our neighbors, you know. And
that's so true.
It's all that keeps multiplying because we never resolve the issue of death in our lives. So that's who Daniel Brinkley is, and I'm an advocate. I support programs that are innovative, both complementary and allopathic. I support the movement to create the loss of fear about surrounding death and death issues. And I empower people through the Twilight Brigade and through Daniel.com to come and deal with these issues in a playful, contemplative, calm atmosphere. We're all one day going to be a hospice volunteer. If not for our family members, we're going to be it for ourselves. The more you know, the better you're educated, the better you will be able to help make decisions for those you love and for those who love you. And that's who I am. Rather boring, but, you know, everybody has to be somewhere.
Right. I worked in skilled nursing facilities for 13 years, and I touched lives that were on death's door. I remember one experience I had. They had brought a lady into rehab to be evaluated, and it was kind of late in the evening, and she looked like she wasn't going to make it, but they still wanted me to evaluate it. You know, they want the money, and this... And She was so frail, and she was puffing, and I just got a chair, and I sat down beside her bed, and I just started to call in the angels, and I said, if this is her will, and this is the will of her higher self, her God self, then let her go. And I said to her mind, I mean, she's out of it, you know, don't be afraid. It's going to be very beautiful. And this, I'm saying this because I've been listening to you all these years. There was another lady in the room with her that I had known for quite a few years. She had one TIA after another, one stroke after another, and she was barely hanging on. And after the prayer, I went home, and that very night around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they both died. So
they both passed.
They both passed.
No one.
Oh, don't
ever
say the word
died.
You pass.
It doesn't happen.
You pass on to another
dimension.
Dimension. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've made this journey many times, and I've been with people who have been resuscitated. I'm one of the forefathers of the near-death experience. I met Raymond Moody in 1976. I had this experience before there was any name for it, before Raymond wrote the name near-death experience in his landmark book, Life After Life. But no one ever dies. This is our biggest issue, because death means finite. Mm-hmm. And the part of us that so-called dies is just a water bag called the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the body is 78% water. Okay, so what the only thing that dies, quote unquote, is the water. And then the spiritual self remains alive. We've all depended on religion and science to define our spiritual identity, instead of us seeking out our spiritual identity in other ways. And that's what's become so important, Vicki, at this time. My big issue, I'm doing the 11-11 campaign. I'm doing a fundraiser for the Twilight Brigade because we're losing between 73,000 and 80,000 veterans every 30 days. And these guys were there for us when we needed them. We now have to be there for them now that they need us. And they need people to be at the bedside. The Twilight Brigade was a foundation that I created to train people to deal with end-of-life care issues. And one of the subtext of this issue is being a part of this program empowers people to live, to be able to look at death as a value of a job well done, not as the end of something, but the beginning of something new. And I fought really hard over the years to bring this consciousness, because I'm from South Carolina, and everybody goes to hell in South Carolina.
Oh, right, I know. I was born in West Virginia, so I know about that.
Fundamentalism forever. you know, and I know that none of that is true. That's nonsense. You know, it's just nonsense. And without ever coming to a value of your life, in as early as you can possibly give that value, so that you always are aspiring to create and to manifest beauty in your life, you have that subconscious fear, and that anyone can play upon it and prey upon it. And this is how we've gotten this country in the situation that it is. We're doing mindless things that achieve absolutely nothing except to destroy people and to create and perpetuate war, because it's the only industry we have left. And I'm trying to bring people to the bedside of veterans, because I believe that people who come to the bedside of those who have served this great country, especially those in World War II, when you hear their story, you realize that war must be thought unthinkable. In this day and age, there has to be another way, and we have to empower ourselves to find it. We must make our way back to Shambhala.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, how can we get on board with the 1111 campaign? Is Danian.com, is that the...
Danian.com and the Twilight Brigade. You can go to Danian.com and look on the links to the Twilight Brigade, and it's a whole program about it. What we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it. There's videos. I need people to be informed, Vicki. It's just like you when you sit at the bedside. Most people couldn't do what you just described, but without them realizing they're going to have to do it, they sooner or later will have to do it, and the sooner you know, the better off you're going to be. And you know something else, too? I think the BBS network needs to be complimented. I think Doug and Seth, I don't know the brother, but I know them. I think their work and their effort and the shows that they are bringing on and helping to produce is really driving a vibrational change in consciousness. So I'm not only proud of what you're doing, I'm proud of what they're doing.
Me too. They work hours and hours and hours. They love it. It's what they do. They're here to serve, and they do a great job with it.
And what got you interested in doing a show?
Well, I would like to write, but it's too tedious, and I thought, well, I'll present something orally over the radio, over the internet radio, where the truth can be told, and that's pretty much why I did it.
Why did you name it The Return to Shambhala?
Well, I'm a part of the Ascended Master activities that started with Elizabeth Clare Prophet and Mark Prophet, the Theosophical Society, and I'm now affiliated.
I knew both of them.
Yes, I love
Mark Prophet and Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
the whole idea of going straight to your God presence, that we all have this God presence, the I am, that I am, our I am presence. It just, when I heard about it, I went, oh, that's who I am. And so that to me is going back to Shambhala, to find out who we really are, to remember who we are. And if you know who you are, then like you said, you're not afraid. You know that there's no death, and you just move on and on. I love to travel, and I can't really find people that like to travel to go with me. So I do a lot of things alone, and I'll hear, oh, how can you do that? How can you go? How can you leave the country and go here and go there? And I just say, I'm not afraid. I don't go out late at night. I don't go out 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I lock my door, and I don't drink alcohol, and I'm not out of my mind with that kind of thing. I know what I'm doing, and I'm aware of my surroundings. And for the 1111 this year, I went to Lake Titicaca alone, and I met a wonderful hotel family, and they made sure I got to where I needed to go. They got me taxis and boat trips, everything that I needed to do. They helped me, and I made no plans.
Do you know that Lake Titicaca is 17,000 feet in the air, and it was a seaport?
Is that right? I know it's high up. I had a
17,310 feet, and it was a seaport. Think about this. It was a seaport. It's a harbor. And that lake is the only thing that's left of it. It's the highest lake in the world and one of the deepest. Mm-hmm. And yet it was a seaport. You can pick up seashells, and it was a harbor. Now, where do you think that fits into the flood issue? And you had to drink a lot of coca tea when you were there, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well, are those headaches, the lack of oxygen, those headaches. But I take tours everywhere. I go to all those sacred sites, and I'm working now on some programs for National Geographic. I'm going to pitch National Geographic on a series of programs that really looks at what these places are and where do they fit in what we call our anthropological and archaeological history. Because once you've ever been dead and you understand that 90% of everything you've ever been told is basically a lie, then you have to start searching for the truth. You can't just casually listen. And like you, you're on a quest to understand and to see. You know, you had to come into, did you go into Peru? Or Chile to get to Titicaca?
I went in through Puno, Peru. I was going to go down to Bolivia and go out on the Island of the Sun, but there's a lot of border issues there, so I decided not to go, and I ended up at the Gateway of the Gods in Amaru, Meru, where they have the... We had a beautiful ceremony. There was probably about 500 people there, all dressed in white. It was a beautiful 11/11 ceremony.
Well, this is happening everywhere, and I'm glad mm-hmm. that you're participating. 11/11/11 comes once every 100 years, and the planetary alignment of next year. You know, this all began. I mean, the real phasing in of the Mayan perspective began on October the 28th. And now is the time, 11/11, those are sacred numbers. Mm-hmm. And then people participating in this, I mean, I go to the Yucatan, and I've been to Titicaca 5 or 6 times and to Peru, to all over Peru. You know, I've been to Machu Picchu. People think Machu Picchu is, it's amazing what people have come to believe Machu Picchu to be. But it's not, you know, if you go there a bunch of times, you really realize that it's not the real sacred site. The real sacred site is across the Urubamba River, but they never let people go to that place.
I didn't know that.
But when you start to explore these kinds of places, you begin to open up to whole new horizons about your spiritual self. And my life is about people finding their spiritual identity. Find out about who you are spiritually so that you, my saying is, aspire to inspire before you expire.
That's good.
Because that's the key. The key is to find out and make this mark and to be a co-creator. I mean, I'm asking everybody to go to Danyon and then to the Twilight Brigade, look at it, and help me. I mean, at 11/11/11, so I ask everybody to send me $11 or 11 cents or $11 and 11 cents so that I can help train and recruit veterans. And in return, you know, I'm there. People can write me. People can ask me questions. I'm always trying to be helpful. And I like George Norrie and Tom Danhauser are really helpful in Coast to Coast. I mean, it started with Art Bell, and it's just a tradition that we've kept going on and doing for the last 13 years.
Well, it's something I'm interested in. I live in Tucson, Arizona. We have a big VA hospital there.
A very big VA.
Mm-hmm. I just I'm just getting to the point where I can branch out and do more things that I want to do that are along what I'm interested in, instead of just I need this job to pay the bills and that kind of thing. I have more freedom now to do these kinds of things. So I will go to that website and look up the training.
But you know what, Vicki? It's more important than we all have to wait to look for excuses. Well, yeah, there's no use in that. We're all going to leave this world. And the only way you're going to really learn about it is to participate in the process. The only way you're ever going to change anything is to participate in the process. The only way, look what happened last Monday in the Senate. They passed a bill, the Senate passed a bill called the Securities and Protection Act, that you can arrest an American citizen and hold him indefinitely up to 25 years without ever charging them with a crime. Think about that.
I know.
That repeals posse comitatus. If we don't start dealing with these issues as Americans, and we don't start dealing with these issues as human beings, and we don't start dealing with these issues as spiritual beings, we will lose our right to ourselves. We will lose the right to be human spiritual beings. And once that happens, we are controlled and manipulated forever. So I'm asking people to step up to the plate. Send me my $11 so that I can help these veterans. I can begin to create what I call that war must be thought unthinkable. And to make these thousands, tens of thousands of guys who are passing from this world, to make their life have value. Most of them are... I've outlived their family. They've alienated so many of their families because of what war does. And these guys who are coming back, there's 50,000 to 100,000 guys that are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and some have done 6 and 7 tours. If you come and spend a little time around them, you will see where we've made our mistake with these political wars. I want people to get back to Shambhala myself.
Mm-hmm. I remember, this is totally changing the subject, but I remember an interview or reading something about the violet flame, the sacred violet flame that Saint Germain has provided us, has taught us about. And is it true that you have actually seen the violet flame? On the other side?
Absolutely. When you go to what I call the crystal cities, or to the place of enlightenment, once you lift out of your body and you see the two worlds, then you travel down a tunnel and you have a panoramic life review. You see your entire life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama. You watch it from a second-person point of view, and then you literally become every person that you ever encountered in your life. And you feel the direct results of your interaction between you and that person. And that's the key. And then at the end of everyone's life, there is the judgment. And the judgment is this. If the divine couldn't come today, or if God couldn't come today and God saved you, in the life you just reviewed, what difference did God make? Okay? So it's never really about you. It's about you becoming a co-creator. And that's what life is about. But after I went through that part of the experience, I went to a place called the Crystal Cities. It was like cities built of light. And as I entered the Crystal City, there was a violet flame. You passed through the violet flame going into the Crystal City. So when I met Elizabeth Clare, I had gone before I ever had this experience, like 72, I went to Mark Prophet. And it wasn't because I was interested in anything that Mark Prophet was doing. It was just that the girl that I was with was really into Mark Prophet. So it made her happy. It made me happy. And I sat and kind of listened to it. You know, I wasn't very spiritual in those days. And I listened to it and I thought it was all funny. You know, I thought these people were crazy.
Okay.
And then Well, I didn't have that mindset. You know, I've been in the Marine Corps, and I had, grew up as a tough guy. I grew up as a fighter, and I didn't have any spiritual mindset. I had rejected religion because I knew it was totally insane because of fundamentalism. I had rejected it. So, you know, I was just more interested in this woman liking me than I was caring about what the ascended masters were doing.
Okay.
And, you know, and so, you know, when you're in your 20s, you don't really, you think more about sex than you think about anything else. At least I did.
Right.
You know, and so I'd walk on my hands if I thought it was going to help me in any capacity. But I got to see this, and when I saw the violent flame, I never related it back to Elizabeth, to Mark. But I was on a flight going somewhere, and somebody had the Ascended Master bookmark, you know, that had what the Ascended Flame was about. And when I looked at it, I knew that whoever had written this or whoever had done this had been where I had been. But since then, I've seen Saint Germain. I mean, Saint Germain is appears quite regularly in this world, and he's not quite a marvelous being. I don't think he sees himself as an ascended master, though, Vicki.
Yeah, I'm smiling because when I just feel that they feel like they're brothers and they were all united and they were all working together. And he loves this planet. Some people don't. They say, Saint Germain, you can have it. But he really loves it and he really wants us all to work together. Like you're saying, you want us all to work together with your projects. And that's, we're all connected.
I have no question that we are. I mean, modern-day science has proven it. You know, there is no question anymore. You know, think about this. This is a scientific, provable fact. If you took every person on the Earth and you took out all the empty space in their cells, you know, everything's based of atoms. Mm-hmm. If you took all the empty space out of an atom of every human being on the Earth, we would all fit into something just a little bit bigger than a sugar cube.
Gosh.
That is scientific fact. We are basically empty space. Every human being on the Earth, all 7 billion, would fit in a space a little bit larger than a sugar cube. That is proven science. So what we really are spiritual beings with consciousness, and we resonate, and we're all connected in a matter called dark matter. We're all searching for a certain kind of particle called the Bog particle, the Hogbog particle, which is what they call the God particle. It's that, the name is the exoninosphere, but it resonates and harmonizes to create the movement and the bonding mechanism that creates what we call reality. But once you ever look at it from a quantitative spiritual point of view, you realize that most of what we put into thought patterns as material reality is hogwash. Then where do you go? What do? You start looking inward. You start seeing how you are connected to everything and how you can support it. So in return, it resonates and supports you. Once that happens, it's what happened to me after these near-death experiences, and each one led me into a deeper path about what really matters, what really has value, and what am I supposed to be doing. I chose to reduce the fear of death. That's not everybody's path. Everyone has their own. But just like you, you chose to voice and open up and create a pathway for people to tune in and people to hear what you're talking about and having people on to talk about their belief systems and find programs and ways that you can support human human evolution into spiritual consciousness. Aspire to inspire before you expire.
With your new book, 10 things you, what was 10 things to know before you pass? Was that, is that your new book?
10 things to know before you go.
Before you go, okay. Can you talk a little bit about that, or is it still in the creative process?
No, I'm writing it now, but I've been with 2,004 people leaving this world.
Gosh. Wow.
2004.
Think about that.
And when you sit and you listen to these conversations in the final days and hours of their life, then you start realizing what matters. What really matters. Because these people are talking about it. And as they're talking about what really matters, then I started seeing, based in everyday life, what people are really missing that they're going to talk about when their time comes. And so I decided to take 10 of the best things, 10 of the things that I have heard over and over and over again, and to write it so that people empower their lives. Enough about death. I live in it. Let's talk about life. Don't wait till you get to the last days and hours before you decide to do these 10 things. And you know something too, Vicki? I discovered that there are really basically like 7 things. You know, the human being does 2 things. It has 2 reasons why it does everything it does. The human being. And the spiritual being only does 4 things. First, if you exist. And the human being only does 2 things. It has to do with gratification and preservation. If you think of every action that you take as a human being, it is either to protect yourself or to gratify yourself. And that consciousness leads us into ego and preservation. Okay? And if you, every conversation that you ever have with anybody, it starts out with either gratification or preservation. Every single one. And until you identify that as the reality that is the basic core nature of this life, you never get past it. Then the ego comes into play, and the ego I call edging God out.
Oh, that's because, good. Uh-huh.
Because what you're doing is you're putting into place a value of yourself that's really not as necessary as a value of being here. You know,
and it's never enough. It's never enough. It's always more, more, more of the gratification until you realize you're edging God out. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how you identify it. Ego, edging God out. So I decided I wanted to write a book. I've written the trilogy, Saved by the Light of Peace and Light and the Secrets with Catherine. And the trilogy, that was enough about death. Now let's write about life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take everything that I have learned over 35 years of studying this subject matter. 27,000 hours. If you look at 27,000 hours in a 40-hour work week, that's like 14 years. And being at the bedside of more than 2,000 people, I know a lot about it. And I want people to empower their lives to live the fullest as they could possibly live, because I've watched what happened with people in their lives who didn't.
Are you going to tell us some of those 10 things, or we need to wait for the book to come out?
Oh, no, we're going to wait for the book.
Okay, of course. Of course. Because well, that's good. I look forward to it.
What happens when people move?
Do you have a... I'm sorry, I'm getting an echo for some reason, Seth. But do you have a date this year, next year?
It'll be in the spring.
In the spring, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, HarperCollins is publishing it. I think they've done all my books. HarperCollins is publishing it, and I'm quite excited about this book. I mean, because it's not the normal Danyon book. It's written as a tool. whereas the other books were just the journey. And at 61 years old, I have a better grip on what maturity is and how people can really use this information to empower their lives and to be able to become more knowledgeable about themselves. And the more knowledgeable a person becomes about themselves, the more they open up to the possibilities of their spiritual identity, and then maybe connect to the ascended masters, and then maybe connect to the dimensions of reality that we call the heavens. And then why do you wait to the end of this life to make that connection when that connection can be made during this life? And that's what I'm writing the book about.
Okay. Well, that's
sounds a little wild, but you know.
Now, the Jewels for the Soul, I didn't know about this book. When I went on your website, I discovered it. For some reason, it passed me by you and Catherine. These are affirmations that you can use throughout the day to accelerate your growth and your co-creativity. Is that the...
Now, here's what everybody needs to do. Jewels for the Soul. In order to get in touch with your spiritual self, so that your spiritual identity begins to become more empowered than your human identity, which is gratification and preservation, you have to start your morning. And I do this every morning. I read a jewel. Mm-hmm. And then I keep that in my mind all day. And then at the end of the day, I go back and look at how close I stayed to that affirmation and what that jewel said. Because once you have a spiritual mechanism in your everyday life, you have this mechanism that you are living the spiritual identity by, you will grow and open more to what is naturally yourself, who you naturally are, not who you've been programmed to become out of fear or gratification. Out of preservation or gratification, okay, to dwell or to the being. I highly recommend everybody, after you donate to the Twilight Brigade, to go and get Jewels for the Soul. I mean, if we don't do this kind of stuff, Vicki, and we don't acclimate ourselves to our spiritual identity, it never finds a way to become the dominant spiritual viewpoint that we truly should have about ourselves. We didn't come here to be human. We came as humans to be able to be co-creators. And as a co-creator, we can identify to a godlike nature, not to dominate, but to preserve, protect, and evolve.
I was just talking to a beautiful woman that's of the Muslim faith last night and in the hospital, and she was telling me that she prays five times a day. And I thought, how great is that? Because that way you're staying in the presence all throughout the day. Even though it's a ritual and it seems kind of bogged down, it's a great way, like the Jewels for the Soul, it's a great way to keep that connection. That spiritual connection. Uh-huh.
I agree, because at the end of the day, I reflect on my spiritual identity because I keep the jewel in place. I have it in my bag. I carry it with me. And if things get a little harsh, or I'm in a meeting, or I'm dealing with someone who's having a really tough time passing from this world to the next, I go back and relate to it. I think everybody should have a copy of Jewels for the Soul.
Okay.
You'll be amazed.
And
everybody who's ever had this book, because we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recommendations of people who use this book every day. And Kat was the creator of most of this. She wrote most of these, and they are absolutely magnificent. And they're inspiring, too. I mean,
they are. There's some pages on Amazon you can go through a few of the pages in what I read today. They're beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an absolute believer in Jewels for the Soul. And I'll tell you how it started. My dad, when I was laying in the bed, I spent 2 years learning to walk and feed myself. And my dad brought me this book. I lived in so much pain, Vicki, it was unfathomable. And my dad brought me this Methodist book called The Upper Room. And I got to where I would read it every day. So as I read it every day, I began to relate to how I could change my life based on it. And then it would have a little affirmation that summarized what the little story was about. And I used that to get through days with more pain than anybody could hardly stand. And so when Cat wrote Jewels for the Soul, I saw it as the same way as I had used it through a really tough time, that where people could use this to really empower themselves and who they are. And this becomes really important in these times. We live in a transitional period, much like the Maya say. We are in a transitional period. And in this transitional period, it becomes dramatically important to reaffirm and re-identify our spiritual selves and our spiritual nature. And I think the jewels contribute to it. I mean, I think everything No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. Oh, I want you to.
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead, Danny.
Ladies always first.
Well, I was going to comment on, well, Elizabeth Clare Prophet and Mark Prophet, you know, the affirmations that we would make. Sometimes they would go on and on and on, you know, 33 times, 144 times. But I like Jewels for the Soul. From what I can see, it's concise and
short.
Short.
And to the point. And you can live your whole day by it. I go all day. I do it every day. You know, because I've done this now for like 15 years. Because at the end of the day, when you try to figure out whether the day was worth doing, I can see that I made a difference. And I use that jewel as my focal point. Because a lot of times there's too many things to get us astray, too many things that take us off task, too many world events that are going nuts, and we lose that identity. And I'm just not going to let that happen to me. Even someone who's been through everything that I've been through, I still live in this world. I'm an ordinary person. I'm nothing. There's nothing magnificent or other than my ability to survive dying. There is nothing, you know, that makes me so important. I don't read my press. You know, I don't get involved in all that. I get up every day, and I focus on that jewel for that day. And I try to make that as my inspiration to get through my day so that at the end of each day when I have my life review, I do a daily panoramic life review so that I can assess how close I stayed to that jewel, what distracted me from it, what did I do that I could correct, where did I see I was wrong, and where I see I was right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to live a spiritual driven consciousness, you know, and once that happens, then good things start to happen for you, because you are attracting. I mean, a lot of people call it the law of attraction. I call it the law of conservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the law of attraction is a very definable law. The Secret brought a lot of that out, but the law of conservation is the shortest distance between two points with the least amount of energy expended. Well, a spiritual relationship with yourself and an evolving spiritual relationship with the world around you is the shortest distance between any two points to achieve the maximum amount of unfoldment for yourself and the world that you live in. Period.
Well said. That's... I agree. You know, you said you're 61 years old, Danny, and so am I, and I was...
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. In the activity of light that I'm affiliated with, we believe that the year before you incarnate, you go to Mother Mary's temple, and she helps you prepare for this incarnation, and the people that were born, the people that are born in your same birth year, you were in the temple with them. So have you heard about this process, or is that?
No, but I know if I was in the same temple with you in my birth year, we were having a party.
Yeah.
We were throwing down big time because we created the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and we are the driving force in the 90s and the 2000s. We are the baby boomers.
That's right.
We are the absolute party animals of the universe. And we are the gatekeepers and the guardians of the next evolution. Don't you understand that people don't get it? Baby boomers, born between 1945 and 1967, we are the guardians. We're the keepers of the gate. We're the people who control the evolution and protect the evolution of the coming generations. Those who are passing and those who are entering, the crystal children and the indigo children in this transitional period. Science and astrophysics has proven without any question that we're moving into the next constellation, the precession of the equinox. It takes 25,920 years for this precession to happen. It is happening. The little solar system that we call our solar system is but a small 14 or 15 planet system in a galaxy that we call the Milky Way that has 1.1 billion planets and stars in it. We start on the outer perimeter of the galaxy, and we go around and around and around for 25,920 years, and we move to the inner edge of the galaxy, and it's called the galactic center. And as we move into that galactic center, there is what is called the cosmic energy. You know, this was all mythology until the last few years. And now we can measure it in a subatomic particle called neutrinos. And why we're having so many floods, Vicki, and there's so much moisture and flooding, because a new series of clouds are being created because the accumulation of neutrinos, which is the measurement of this cosmic energy that is flowing and creating so much moisture. So what everybody thinks is not... Yeah, this is how it's happening. It's not mythology. It's not voodoo. It's quantum particle physics and astrophysics as scientific protocol. This is what is happening.
And okay. I'm right in Columbus, Ohio right now, and the rain just is not letting up. They have almost record number of inches here right now, and the year isn't up yet.
All they have to do is look at the neutrino. Get any scientific lab or anybody who is in the Weather Channel and measure the neutrino levels and the tachyon levels in those clouds, and you will see they are greater now than ever, and it's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening until we move past this period. You know, this is what's happening. And what always amazes me, Vicki, is this. People keep their heads stuck in the sand like ostriches.
Mm-hmm.
If a fool like me can understand this stuff, because I read Scientific America and I read The Economist, you know, and I read Jewels for the Soul, and I'm the only person who's read, I probably have read Secrets of the Light maybe 20 times because this book inspires me. I'm so proud of Secrets of the Light. I was proud of Saved by the Light because it became a cult classic and it sold millions and millions and millions of books worldwide. But that was a story of the adventure of one person. And peace was how I was going to take that adventure and manifest it into what has become the Twilight Brigade. And the Secrets of the Light were taking the secrets, those seven values that I wrote in that book, was how you live your life. You can take those secrets and you can take the Secrets of the Light and you can create any situation that you find yourself in. I always use number 5, which is in the book, is that you chose to be here at this place and at this moment in time because it was a moment when you realized you could make the greatest impact and the greatest difference in service on the earth. And then I take that viewpoint and I look at the situation and I can see clearly what to do. Whereas we all get confused and we all get lost and we all worry about what someone's doing or not doing. I believe in empowerment, and I think that the secrets of the light are spiritual strategies for empowerment here and in the hereafter. And it really comes from having the panoramic life review. I mean, once you ever have one of these, you become so knowledgeable of why things happen. And you don't need to have a near-death experience to have a panoramic life review. You just need to read those three books. And I have structured how to deal with this stuff. I don't want people to have to go through what I go through to come to the conclusions that I've come to. That's why I write books. And, you know, you can't listen to a radio show. I mean, why, you said you choose to speak as opposed to write.
Well, right.
People can take Jewels for the Soul or Secrets of the Light out of their bag on the train or on the airplane or riding in the car or sitting at the beach. And they can refresh themselves, and they can look at those. Like, you know, you choose to come and you're chosen to come. And once you start to look at how I wrote it, because I write in Southern, I don't speak English, I speak Southern American.
Uh-huh.
and I write in Southern American. You know, if you read my books, it's like having a conversation with me.
It is.
And it's a gentle way of understanding how a person who grew up as a son of a bitch became the person that I now am because of the process of really learning about my spiritual identity and really putting it first and foremost as the intention of why I do what I do. It's never about what you do, it's about why you do it. And I write ways to give people intentions, the intent of why you're doing what you're doing as opposed to what you're doing, because the Panoramic Life Review teaches you unequivocally. It's about your reason why you're doing it, not the reason what you're doing. Sorry I got on that roll, but, you know, every so often I get carried away.
You get carried away. Well, I'm glad you have been carried away. I think what I saw before I came in was what was going on in Europe for World War II. I could just imagine, what are we doing here with this genocide here in Germany? And I just couldn't stay away.
We're doing it in Iraq, and we're doing it in Syria. We're doing it in Libya. Uh-huh. We're doing it now in Africa. In the Congo, 45,000 people die every 30 days in the Congo. They just don't have anything we want. 45,000
right.
people a month are being murdered and raped, babies and women and children. And what are we doing? Nothing. Look at Darfur.
I know.
Come on, give me a break. People got to wake up.
I know. What we're doing is we're working with the violet flame, and we're flaming those areas to bring out the truth. And little by little, we're hoping
hope. If your group is focused, I don't mean to interrupt you, Vicki, but if your group is focused in the violet flame, then you don't have to hope it will happen.
It will. That's right.
You know, and when you do the affirmations, it's like Elizabeth. I mean, the repetition creates a harmony. The harmony creates a resonance. The resonance of that frequency creates a model by which it will be transmitted. Everybody knows that, from the Gregorian chants to the Tibetan monks. They all create these harmonic vibratory resonances. And when you do what the decrees are, I always used to laugh about the decrees because I thought it was somebody at an auction. No, hey, I'm going to have it. But when you listen to the words and the repetition of those words, and those decrees become a resonant harmonic, and that harmonic becomes a vibration, and that vibration is transmitted, you begin to change frequency. You begin to change intentional response, and you begin to set a way in which people harmonize with that resonance. So don't hope that little by little putting the violet flame will do something. Know that it will do it.
That's right. It will.
And I commend you and your group for doing it. And I hope I see you in Mary's Temple again.
Okay. I do too. And I just can't wait till the book comes out. You want to go ahead and, you know, I want to let you know, Danny, and sometimes I get busy and I don't have a show to present. So I asked Seth and Doug and Don to replay. I'd love to replay this again soon. I'd love to replay this show again, just to let you know that I do that.
Oh, thank you. I'd appreciate it.
And I could let you know. I'd let Heidi know when it's going to be on, so you can listen or
I would appreciate that. I would appreciate it. And once again, I want to compliment Seth and Doug and their brother and the brother. I don't know his name.
Don and Doug, the twins, yeah.
Okay, but I don't know Don. I know Doug and Seth, and I'm just very, very proud of them because they're putting out a frequency and they're creating a way that platforms people to be able to reach out, and people can tune in any time of the day or night and go in the archives and find this kind of information. And I want everybody who listens to the BBS Network and everybody who listens to your show knows that I send them my absolute love, my absolute focused attention, in that they find in these shows that place in their identity that helps them unfold the true divine spiritual perspective that is their right, and to not live in fear of anything, but to live in grace and in joy and happiness.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being on the show. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed speaking to you. Thank you.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the boys, but I'm going to take it as a compliment.
I really mean that. Okay.
I would say that. Be blessed and be safe, and please don't drown in Ohio.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Good night. Goodbye.